Hey, it's Maz for DraftKings, where they have basketball, hockey, golf, and so much more. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, here to put you in the center of the action with millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs all week long. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now, use the code SPORTSHUB, and for a limited time, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Again, the code SPORTSHUB to get a free chance at millions with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
B-Pod Studios.
And now.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal joining us in the remote Bedard location. So this is what he was he alluded to it at the end of last hour, some of our strawman arguments that he was not all that into. He said, I don't know who's saying the Patriots were smart or brilliant by staying at 15 and taking Jones outside of the normal Bobos. That's one. Let me circle back to that. But the second thing was that somehow we believe that not trading up to draft Jones was wrong. So I never said that. I don't think you ever said that. I think what we're trying to imply, Greg, is that they didn't exactly target the player, that the player wasn't the priority. And if they had drafted up to take him, that would have indicated that the player was a priority and a target. Like, it feels to me they targeted Barmore more than they did Mac Jones. But I don't blame them if they liked the player and knew he was going to be available at 15. I don't need them to trade up. So I never said that. I think you're confusing that thing. The first thing about people saying the Pats were brilliant for letting the quarterback thing come to them, that is a narrative out there, Greg. And I don't want to bash my fellow media people, but a lot of people have sort of written that. But Tom Curran has been saying that for days and weeks. At least let it come to you. Let it come to you. I love how they let it come to you. Peter King wrote yesterday, he equated the Patriots' approach at the draft with Mac Jones to them waiting out Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl. That just the smart, patient, heady approach. You let everyone else sort of fall apart around you, and then you pounce with the brilliant move just where you're sitting by being patient and letting it come to you. And I don't buy that one bit. And let me just tell you why, and I'll wrap it up here. And that is the implication there is that they're just as good with Davis Mills or Kellen Mond or Kyle Trask as they were with Mac Jones. And Bert Breer actually wrote something like that. So great. Over previous 20 years, what they've done is trade down for value and take the same player at 48 that they could get at 15. So it feels like this was a little more reachy than they've done in the past. This was a little more need-based than they've done in the past. And that's sort of the antithesis of what everyone has been telling me about their brilliant approach over the last 20 years. That's what we said.
Okay. Well, there's a lot there.
Thank you.
Let's just start with the, with the targeting thing and 15. So if Mac Jones was the highest rated player on their board and was the player they secretly wanted, how would they have shown you that they were targeting him by staying at 15? What could they have done?
Yeah, no, like, that's what, not,
did Bill need to say something?
No, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. I guess it's the reporting subsequently that they were just as content to take the linebacker there. I forget his name from Tulsa.
Zaven Collins.
Yeah, the Collins kid, and draft back for Davis Mills. And they were just as content. If someone else had jumped up and taken Mac Jones, they would have been just as fine with Davis Mills in the second or third round as they would have been Mac Jones at 15.
Yeah, and I don't know if it would have been Mills, not with his knee and what they went through with Malcolm Mitchell and other people. But be that as it may, like I just think that the Patriots, they were realists about what was going on. I think if the board didn't fall their way, and we can get into that in a second, but yeah, if it didn't fall their way, I think that they would have tried other options like Garoppolo. Then maybe they would have tried harder. Maybe they would have given up a future one or a future two or whatever after the draft that if they didn't get their guy, and you know, which is sort of quote unquote plan A. Now, here's the thing about staying at 15, and I don't think it's brilliant. I just think that they were effective. I think that there's a few things in play. There's a few layers to picking at 15 and also about the player, Mac Jones. Like, and I posted a column shortly before I came on, sort of explaining this a little bit more. But, you know, you start out when you're the Patriots at 15 and say you want Mac Jones, and they, from what I understand, they had a good idea that the Niners were going to go Trey Lance at the end of the day. So then it starts to get into, you start eliminating teams, you know, in terms of number one, how many teams in the NFL really want a pocket passer like Mac Jones? It's a very limited amount of teams. And I went through it. Well, I won't go through all the teams. Then it's all right. Well, which of those teams, like, for example, the Saints, can actually come up and get in front of us? Okay. And also knowing that once Fields and Mac Jones got through 7, 8, and 9, now the Patriots had a pretty good idea. And granted, they didn't know that was going to happen. If Fields would have gone in 7, 8, 9, I think you would have seen them possibly move up for Mac Jones. But I think once they got through 7, 8, 9, no quarterback taken, they knew that they were going to get, or at least two of them, at least one of them was going to be on the board.
Okay, so let's start.
So then
there.
You get, hang on. And then the other factor is there's a thing called freezing the pick, which is basically, you know, you heard all these reports about the Patriots are looking to trade up. They're this and that. They're talking to teams. Part of those discussions, often, especially the teams probably from 10 to 15, they call them and they say they work out the parameters of a deal. Like a framework, if our guy is there and we need to come up, would this be in your ballpark, yes or no? Then you get into basically a right of first refusal with a team. Like it could have been, they could have had one with the Vikings. Hey, we'll come up, we'll give you this. Just let us know. If somebody comes up, let us know, give us a call. The Vikings very well could have called them and say, the Jets are coming up. And the Patriots are like, okay, we got our guy. You know, that goes on. So I think the Patriots, for a variety of reasons, felt good about where they were at 15. They executed the plan. I'm not saying it's brilliant or anything like that, but I think they got the guy that they wanted. And to me, that's the story of the draft.
Okay, so you just had said, though, Greg, that if Fields, once Field and Jones slid past 9, okay, mm-hmm. you start getting into that 10 area, and Philly had the 10 yep. pick, they took Devontae Smith. Okay, so right, what if Chicago had traded up and taken Mac Jones? Do you think the Patriots would have taken Fields?
I think that I don't think so. Not at 15. But in any event, the Patriots probably, who did the Bears trade up with?
The Giants.
So, you know, they have Joe Judge there. They were probably like, hey, if somebody comes up for your pick, give us a call. We might up the offer. And when Joe Judge probably called them and said, hey, the Bears are coming up. And they were like, oh, well, it's Fields.
So
it's not
again,
Mac Jones.
So,
he doesn't interest them.
Again, Burt Breer reported that there was no conversation between New York and New England when the Bears moved
up. No, I think what Burt reported, that somebody called them in the top 10 and say, hey, you interested?
No.
And they're like, no, because the board was falling their way. They understood.
He also, don't yell at me, he also said the Giants. There was still, I read it like 3 times yesterday. There was no conversation between the Patriots and the Giants when the Bears moved up for Fields. I don't, the fact that they knew he was going to be there at 15, they took him at 15, I'm fine with. The Pats did not have to trade up to prove to me they wanted Mac Jones. But it does strike me as true, Greg, just knowing Bill, how we know him from following him for 20 years, that it feels like him to say, look, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, Kyle Trask, they're all roughly in the same ballpark. So I'm not going to draft a guy at 15 when I can get the same quality of player at 48. I'm going to trade down and get multiple picks and get the same quality of player lower than I would higher. That's how he's always done business. And that's sort of how that was presented here in the last couple of days. I'm just going off the reporting. And
well,
that,
Mike.
Yes?
Go ahead.
No. I mean, that's it.
I was just going to say, yes, but and that may all be true, Mike. I'm not going to disagree with that. But you also have to admit this is a different time in the realm of the Patriots.
Right.
That they are coming off a losing season.
Correct.
That they don't have a quarterback, that they don't have Tom Brady, that it is the quarterback position, and that he acted different than he does for, you know, a right tackle.
Bingo.
Should not surprise you all that much. And who knows? I'm not saying that, look, the only people that knew, and it, as far as my reporting goes, the only people that knew what the Patriots' feelings were on the quarterbacks were Belichick and McDaniels, and people that have that have a lot of power in that organization. They tried to get it out of Bill. They didn't know, and so I don't think that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick thought at the end of the day that Kellen Mond and Davis Mills were the same as Mac Jones, which I know you're not saying, but it sounds like you're saying
that. Close enough. Well, that's just how it was portrayed.
But I don't think that is true at all. I think when you're talking about Kellen Mond or Davis Mills and Jimmy Garoppolo, that's different. But just in terms of the draft, no, I don't think that they viewed those things at anywhere close. I think that at the end of the day, I think that Mac Jones was their highest rated player on the board. Chris Gasper has also reported this. Highest rated player on the board privately. They are beyond excited that they got Mac Jones to be their quarterback of the future, and they think he's the perfect guy to do it.
Yeah, I just still feel like they waited for it to sort of fall into their lap versus going and getting it. And again, it's fine. I'm not blaming them for it. They got the players. At the end of the day, they were probably right about it. But
you make it sound like they're like laying around like on the couch, like who cares? Whatever gets there. Like they read the board right. Like I'm not saying that they're brilliant about it. They're smart. They're playing the game. They played it right. I don't think it was all that complicated to figure out who might come up where, who were the real threats to get Mac Jones. I think the Broncos are still holding out for Aaron Rodgers, which sort of took them out of the quarterback thing. The way you say it sounds like they were just laying around. They didn't care what happened. I think they had a plan, and I think they executed it, and I think they got the guy they wanted.
Look, at the end of the day, Greg, honestly, I don't care if they picked him at 15 or 50. Okay? He better be able to play. He better be able to play because they need a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Okay? So I really don't care about this notion that, like, again, I get agitated with the idea that Bill's, you know, pulling all the strings and making this thing work the way he wants to make it work. When the fact is that, you know, they waited it out on Garoppolo and they didn't get him. They waited it out last year and they had to take Cam Newton. And now they, you know, they waited this year at 15 and they got their guy finally. He better be able to play.
Yep.
He better be able to play.
Yeah, and I still think their quarterback room this year blows. I still think it blows. Yeah. I think their starter plays a different style than the rest of the depth chart. I think the rest of the depth chart either sucks, Jared Stidham, or isn't ready, Mac Jones. They have to run one set of offensive sets when Newton's out there, another set when Mac Jones is out there, and I don't think it fits together. I don't think it works. I still think their quarterback room blows, whether they were targeting or not targeting or, you know, master chessmen or whatever. I just think their quarterback situation still stinks as it relates to 2021. Let's do 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console, from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? Let them know and they'll try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in, because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling section will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's a very special draft edition of Big Boy Tuesday, NFL offseason edition of Big Boy Tuesday. And we give them 10 questions like we would just as if we're during the regular season. So 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to be quick. We got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options?
Oh, his 53 points fake.
Fake. I mean, it was fake.
I agree, fake.
Fake. That wasn't even a win. No. That's a loss.
Astros, loss on Friday. Hologram.
No.
I mean,
it's my favorite clip of the year.
Yeah, of all time. It's just so good. Next.
Avalanche.
As the church bells were ringing.
You can put it that way, or
hit him in the Christmas area.
The Christmas area. Christmas. Keep going. Synapses?
Synopsis is the
synopsis.
Word you're looking for.
Jeez. Okay, keep going.
You can outgrow epilepsy?
If it's manageable through medication, he's not falling asleep during a football game. What's the, or, you know.
Not narcolepsy, epilepsy.
Oh.
Soft mitts.
Soft mitts. I love soft mitts. Soft mitts. Give me someone with soft mitts. What else?
Here we go. Here we go. We're cooking with gas, bitches.
Wow. What a grouping. Go ahead. Hit anyone.
We're cooking with gas, bitches.
Number 10, Greg. Who do you blame for the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Mark Murphy. He's the one constant between Favre, which I was there for in the middle of, and now we're going through it all again. It's just he has no idea how to run that organization like an owner. He tries to run it like the athletic director he was at Northwestern and Colgate and other places. Like, it's just he has no idea what he's doing, and he's completely screwed it up. He screwed it up with Favre. He's screwing up with Rodgers.
How did he screw it up with Favre?
How did he screw it up with Favre? He didn't go to Favre and draw a harder line earlier. He didn't empower people. He tried to do it in a passive aggressive way, and it just didn't happen. And Favre got out of control. And by the time they tried to rein him in at the end, it was way too late.
Okay, Greg, before I give you the right answer, because yours is wrong, we're going to play a little game today. I'm going to make this quick, though. Every time you give an answer I don't like, what I have here is a box of Dunkin' Munchkins, okay? I'm going to take one of these Munchkins, and I'm going to throw it at you, Greg. That's what we're going to do.
Don't throw it at the big boy.
TV. Okay, because I don't have markers and footballs to throw, so I'm going to throw Munchkins right at you.
Where's the big boy doll?
The correct answer is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the one to blame for this whole situation. He's done nothing but act like a baby since this thing began. That's what it is.
Click, Mark.
Yeah, I'm with Greg. The team, an insulting contract offer is a clear indication of a lack of respect.
Okay, yep. Next.
Here we go. Here we go.
Number 9, Greg, what should the Packers do?
Trade them now. Get it over with without question. Because if they let this play out, they're going to be in the same situation as Favre where you're getting nothing. So Rodgers retires. All of a sudden, at some point in time, he unretires. Now his cap hit comes on. Like, it's a mess. Just get the best offer you can. Get it over with. You have Jordan Love there. Just get on with it.
Trade his ass. End it. It's over. Get rid of him.
Give him whatever he wants. Name him junior GM if you have to. Whatever he wants, give it to him, because you can't have a repeat of what Brady just did and making Bill and the Patriots look like idiots.
Next. Synapses. Synapses?
Synopsis is the word you're looking for.
Jeez. Number 8. Now give me a good trade for Aaron Rodgers. After the draft, obviously, I would have taken that Niners thing before the draft. Now that we're after the draft and we're sitting here today, give me a good trade offer for him.
I would trade him to Vegas because they're not going to trade him to the NFC. So it's either Vegas or Denver. And Denver just doesn't, to me, have the capital. But I go Vegas. I want their first-round pick in 22 and 23. I want their second-round pick next year. I want Carr, and I want Waller.
That's a nice trade. That's a nice trade. I'll take Carr for 1 year before Jordan Love is ready, and you give me the tight end and some picks, I'm in. Done.
Rodgers and a pick for Watson. And Green Bay's got to give up the pick because of the age difference in the quarterbacks. So, again, I'm not going to quibble over the pick. You figure it out. But do it for Watson. They've got an issue there, too. He wants out of there. Send Watson to Green Bay, and everybody's happy.
Mike, I got the winner for you. Next year's 2 first-round picks, because they have one from the Bears, a 2023 second-rounder, and Daniel Jones, who's just sucky enough for you, from the New York Giants to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, that's a fun trade. That's a fun trade. I don't even know if I need Daniel Jones, but that's a good trade too. So I'd definitely do it if I were them. They ultimately, when they did deal Favre to the Jets, so it's just like a second rounder or something like that. You know, maximize this asset. Get out now. Next.
Soft mitts.
Soft mitts. I love soft mitts. Soft mitts. Give me someone with soft mitts. Number 7, Greg, what was the best draft weekend move across the AFC East?
I thought the Dolphins, their first 4 picks were out of sight, from Waddle to the offensive tackle. I thought they did a great job. I couldn't really separate them. I thought Chris Greer knocked it out of the park in the first 4 picks.
And Greg's behaving now, because otherwise he's getting a jelly munchkin next. That's the one I like, the Jalen Waddle pick from Miami. That one to me makes all the sense in the world. He jelly. Needs weapons. You get him a kid he's played with in college and Waddle. In terms of Tua now, I'm talking about the quarterback. I like what Miami did at the top end.
And I'm going Mac Jones to the Patriots, if only because I can't believe they actually took a quarterback in the first round. There was a real need at the most important position, and they addressed it. So thank God they did it.
Next.
You can outgrow epilepsy?
If it's manageable through medication, he's not falling asleep during a football game. What's the, or, you know.
Not narcolepsy, epilepsy.
Oh, yeah. Big difference. What was the worst draft weekend move across the AFC East there, Greg?
Well, it's between the Bills with Rousseau and the Patriots trading up for Barmore. If they would have taken Barmore just where they picked, I wouldn't have had much of an issue with it. I'm going to go with Rousseau. I just think he opted out last year. He got passed by Jalen Phillips. There's some questions about him. They got him at 30, but I'm not crazy about the player.
I went with Cameron McGrone. Like, look, the big board be damned. Okay, I love the big board. I don't mean to dump on the big board. But you take a guy who's not going to, who's coming off a knee injury, the whole thing, it just doesn't feel right. And I didn't like the description when we read the guy in the draft magazine. He felt like a bad fit for the Patriots. I didn't like that pick at all.
Patriots waiting until the seventh round for a wide receiver and not taking a cornerback.
Next.
As the church bells were ringing.
Number five, tool bag question. Who was the biggest tool bag of the NFL draft?
Whoever in the league office decided it was a great move to put Roger Goodell's stupid chair on the stage and do whatever they did with that. That was just stupid and typical league office stuff.
I mean, I'm with you. I didn't get the chair. What was the deal with the chair?
You're asking the wrong. I don't focus on stuff.
But anyway, go ahead.
I remember Kyle Shanahan. I thought he was a complete jackass. Again, and I go back to the press conference right before the draft and then right after where he backtracked, like, you know, Deion Sanders, for crying out loud, and thought he came off as a complete, total jackass. My other answer was going to be Aaron Rodgers, but I went with Shanahan.
Carolina Panthers, they supposedly love Justin Fields. He dropped to them. They didn't believe in Sam Darnold because they waited until after the draft to pick up the fifth-year option. They ended up going with Joe Horn's kid at cornerback. Tool bags. If Justin Fields becomes a good quarterback in Chicago, Matt Rule's going to know why he's out of a job. They're idiots. They should have taken him.
Mike, by the way, on Shanahan, how about we should just recount how badly he screwed. He better win this year or the next couple years because how badly he screwed it up. Didn't go after Brady last year. Traded up a bundle for a player they didn't need to trade. Tried to trade for Aaron Rodgers before the draft. And now he's got what amounts to a $25 million backup. Like, he's just all over the place on the quarterback position. It better work.
Next.
Hit him in the Christmas area.
Okay, same. We've circled back to this, but either way, do you believe the Niners? Because they're putting out there now that they wanted Trey Lance all along. Do you believe them?
Absolutely not. I think it was Mac Jones. They made the trade. I think it was with Mac Jones in mind. I think through public pressure and also study, they came around and went with Trey Lance.
Believe it or not, I'm starting to believe it. I am starting to believe it because it does jibe with them wanting to pay Garoppolo for 1 year. That Lance was going to need a little more time. And so I need to see it play out. Let's see if Garoppolo makes it through and he's actually there for the season. If he's not, then clearly I'm wrong. But I think they might have been telling the truth.
Yeah, I believe them. They knew who they were picking when they made the trade. You don't change your mind on stuff like that.
Next one, Jimmy.
We're cooking with gas, bitches!
Number three, if the Pats had gone defense at number 15, as Belichick wanted to, who should they have picked and why?
Zaven Collins, the linebacker from Tulsa. He fits what they do, and really, at that point in time, and I'm no draft expert, but he was really the only guy left on the board that I thought was really worth a first-round pick. Everybody else was more of a gamble.
I also had Zaven Collins. Based on everything I read, I thought he was a perfect fit for them. I mean, you know, big, you know, fat, like all of it. He felt like a perfect Patriot to me.
Yeah, same. They wanted a money backer, and that's what he is. 4 sacks, 4 picks last year. Very versatile. That's who it should have been.
Number two.
Here we go. Here we go.
Defensive players in general across the board have been de-emphasized. I don't know how many got picked in the first round, but, you know, those numbers keep going down. Greg, is this a good or a bad thing for the sport of football in the NFL?
Well, I don't think it's either. I think that it's just a result of where we are with the college game. I think it's just between the quarterbacks and the receivers, not the tight ends, but all those guys, they're much easier to project now to the NFL because these guys are in 7-on-7. They're in passing camps from Pop Warner. They're much easier to project going to the NFL, except for the Patriots. And defense is much harder because they don't play defense in college the way that they play in the NFL. So I think teams have shied away from taking defense. They're a bigger bet in the draft than the offensive guys are.
Wrong answer, Greg.
Yeah, that was the sound of a bag being.
Yeah, it's a rustling bag.
Throw the munchkin.
Yeah, this one. No, this is actually a bagel bite, Murray. I got a bagel bite here for you. Big mistake, Greg. Big mistake. It's bad for the league. Too much offense is bad for the league. What are we playing, flag football? Like, enough already. The 7-on-7 thing does nothing for me, seeing teams go up and down the field. You need resistance. That's what makes an offense good, is the fact that it can move against resistance. You got to have defense.
Yeah, no, I like defense. Go ahead.
Next, last one.
Oh, his 53 points fake.
Fake. I mean, it was fake. I agree, fake.
Fake. That wasn't even a win. No. That's a loss.
Loss on Friday. Hologram.
No.
Early Super Bowl prediction, big boy.
Rematch, Chiefs-Bucks.
Ooh, I'm going Tampa-Indianapolis. I like the Colts. I like what they've done there. I like the marriage of Reich Carson and Wentz again. What's that? I do. I think Indy's going to be good.
Brady's the man. The Bucks are the team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers Fire against the Cleveland Browns. Bucks-Browns.
Ooh, that's very good. We'll circle back to those in due time. But coming up next, I promise, your calls right after Big Jim's update.
Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console, from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? They will try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in, because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling selection will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up, because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones as promised here with Greg Bedard. A lot of you waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. Let's grab our gal pal Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So I have a couple questions on Mac Jones. I was encouraged by what Greg said in the beginning of the program, but it does beg the question, if Mac Jones is so brilliant and talented and everybody wanted him, why didn't he go, you know, in the top few rounds? And why did he, you know, fall to the Patriots at number 15? There was obviously something about him that other teams didn't like. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been left there. So I'm curious about that. My second question is it too early to know if he has some of the intangibles that Brady had, specifically if he's poised in the pocket and he doesn't panic, or he doesn't take unnecessary risks and get hurt early on? Can you speak to that?
Okay, thanks, Mary. Why did he fall, Greg, first of all?
I don't think he did fall. I just don't think that style of quarterback fits everybody. I mean, look at Tom Brady's free agency last year. How many people came after him? Two teams? So it doesn't. Look, it's a different age. It just is. So Mac Jones doesn't appeal to a lot of the, you know, look, Shanahan liked him, but I don't think any of his tree would really be enamored with him. I mean, let's just go through the draft. I mean, Atlanta has Matt Ryan. I think that Arthur Smith, I think he loves Matt Ryan and wants to try that for 2 years with this contract situation. Add the tight end to what they have. They have a chance. The Bengals have their quarterback. The Dolphins think they have their quarterback. The Lions, they like Goff, the GM there. I think they're good with him for a while. They're not going to force it, and they have a lot of other needs that they need to do. I think the Panthers, they have Sam Darnold. They might have gone with Justin Fields, but J.C. Horn, they needed a cornerback. The Broncos, I still think they're in on Rodgers. I don't know about their deal with the quarterback. The Eagles have a quarterback. The Bears traded up. The Dallas is fine. That's the name of the game. I mean, really, there aren't that many teams that were looking for a franchise quarterback, and that they knew this guy was a quote-unquote generational type. A lot of coaches look at Mac Jones and they just are like, I've seen some guys not work with his profile, and it might not work. But I think that – and she asked about the intangibles.
Yeah, clutch gene. Any idea?
I don't know about the clutch gene, but I will say there are indications that poise under pressure, doesn't get rushed, uncanny accuracy under pressure. And to me, the big thing is he has this competitiveness. This is a kid who, I think he, he was a really top junior tennis player. You know, got tossed out of a tournament for arguing a call. He talked trash with Nick Saban. Nick Saban was bothered when he was a scout team quarterback. This was a very Brady-like story about how Mac Jones and the scout team was making his defense look bad, and Mac Jones basically said, like, tell your defense to play better. So, you know, he has those type of things. No one's ever going to be Brady, but are there indications that he has those intangibles that helps make up for his lack of physical gifts? Yes.
Okay. The tennis brat thing I wouldn't put on the list, but either way, Eli in the car. Go ahead, Eli.
Because I waited so patiently on this call, the quality of it is going to be better. That's going to happen with Mac Jones too. You don't want this kid going in, throwing a pick week one or something like that, looking, you know, like he's trash. Let Cam be, you know, he's going to probably underperform. So let Cam get that stuff out of the way, and then Mac Jones comes in and he cleans it up. I think that's the best. Even if he doesn't play this year, that's fine with me. You know, because at least then he has a year under his, you know, his studies and his education. Like, he'll know what to do next year. So I'll wait. I don't care.
Me too. I'm okay with guys sitting. I think you can develop on the bench.
It's just that the interim guy stinks.
Exactly. That's my issue. So in the interim, for the best, for the long-term development of Mac Jones, it's better for him to sit. That's fine. I can accept that. What are we doing in the meantime? We're just wasting another year? That's the part I hate.
Yeah, and you should hate it. Go ahead, Greg.
I think at least initially, I think Bill will look at it, depending on what happens this summer. He'll look at it as sort of like, all right, I can't lose huge here. Now, you're thinking of they start 0-5 or whatever. But I think Bill looks at it as Cam gets the start, and either we play well and we play winning football, or Cam hangs himself, and I get to put my guy in. Either way.
Joel in New Hampshire on the big board of all things. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, talking about your big board, the big tackle there from Alabama looks like he could be kind of a problem with a attitude adjustment. And the other kid, the linebacker from Michigan, I saw reports that said he had a partial tear in his ACL. Could you comment on that?
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, we never promise that the kids can play, only that the Pats are going to take them. We were very upfront about that. The big board does not predict greatness, only that they will be selected, okay? On Barmore, especially, Greg, you've heard some troubling things.
Yeah, so what happened was is that after the first round, you know, I'm writing about best available players, and there's Christian Barmore. I had him going in the first round of the draft. I looked at some of the teams at the bottom of the first round, and I was like, well, they sort of play like he would be a Patriots type of guy or similar. They play similar schemes. So I think that player would interest them. They passed on him. He's still available. And I was like, man, if he's there, the Patriots are going to take him. So I started calling teams to see what the deal was in Barmore. And pretty quickly I got the answer. You know, one team took him off the board, said what they heard out of Alabama. They just took him off the board. Another one said late second round for a guy with that much talent. You know, there's an issue there. Now on film, he's great. It's all the other stuff that the Patriots are going to have to worry about. And you would think that Bill would have good intel from Nick Saban in Alabama. I don't know. You look at his track record there. You look at his track record with players with Urban Meyer at Florida. Is he asking the necessary questions on those guys to get the right background? You know, this, the one of the team that removed Barmore from their draft board was a team that removed, and I don't mean to bring him up to make this sort of similar. It's not. It's completely different. But when I went back and backtracked on Aaron Hernandez his rookie year because of how much he popped, this team also removed Aaron Hernandez from their draft board. So, look, I think that the kid has a motivation issue, or at least he did at Alabama. That led to problems. Everyone thinks you need to be on him around the clock. Maybe the Patriots are. Maybe it works out. There's no question that he has the talent. He has first-round talent. Does it work? I don't know.
Is it – I know. I guess you don't want to get too much into it, but can you allude to it? Is it like he can't really learn, so we'll just pass him anyway because he's so talented, like a Dexter Manley type of situation? Or is it like violence? What?
Oh, no. It's not violence or anything like that. I mean, I'm trying to be sensitive because, I mean, the direct quote that I heard from one of the teams about it, it would generate headlines and it would basically bury the kid. And I don't think that's fair to him. I'll just say that teams, I think the way I termed it, the teams question his intelligence a bit in terms of how he – keeps things together off the field and whether that's going to affect him. And look, he threw a social media tantrum last year during fall camp with Alabama, removed all the stuff, basically said he was done there. Then all of a sudden he changes his tune. It wasn't about the social media tantrum. It's about what caused the social media tantrum. Alabama reacted to something. What was that? And is that going to be an issue with the pros? With all these kids, one of the evaluations you make is, what is this kid going to do now that he's a pro and he has all this free time? If he wasn't motivated in college, how's he going to be motivated in the pros? And I think a lot of teams question whether Barmore is going to be able to make that transition, but who knows? Maybe the Patriots have a great plan for him. Maybe Dante Hightower kicks him, you know, in the rear end. Who knows? There's no question he's talented. We'll see whether it works out.
Okay, he needs a chaperone.
Long commercial free segment is next. We wrap it up with Greg and your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, it's Maz for DraftKings, where they have basketball, hockey, golf, and so much more. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, here to put you in the center of the action with millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs all week long. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now, use the code SPORTSHUB, and for a limited time, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Again, the code SPORTSHUB to get a free chance at millions with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How soon do you think before Mac Jones gets the chance to be the starter with the Patriots? Is it a year? Is it right away? What do you think?
I think it's a year. I think, look, they're gonna coach the shit out of him, right? They're gonna get him in there. He's gonna be smart as hell. Look, here's what you have to do to play quarterback for the Patriots. You have to have great intelligence. You have to have really great anticipation with the football, and you got to be deadly accurate. Those are the three things that Mac Jones does. Now, Mac Jones can't run the power out of shotgun. Mac Jones isn't going to run the quarterback sweep. So they're going to be two different offenses here. They're going to be the same passing game. This is what I think people disconnect a little bit here. The passing game will be the same for Cam and it'll be the same for Mac Jones. The running game, the position of being able to account for the quarterback in the running game will be somewhat different. But I think Mac Jones will take a redshirt year.
That's a Michael Barty cut from yesterday. It's where we started with Bedard. Greg disagrees that there's a redshirt year coming for Mac Jones. That's all well and good, but the way he all describes it, Greg, is why I still don't like the quarterback room. I mean, I think the team's ready to win. I think the team's ready to contend. Not that they're a favorite or anything, but I think they're ready to be right back in the mix, except at quarterback. They've got a veteran who plays one way and sucks. They've got a rookie first-round pick who plays another way and hopefully doesn't suck, but probably isn't ready. And then they have a third guy who they have no faith in. And I still don't think it works together. And I think the problem starts with Cam Newton and that they should have done a much better job getting a much better bridge guy in here over Mac Jones, at least someone who plays the same way. And therefore, they can just keep the same offense, for lack of a better term, as they're switching between the two. I mean, as they're repping it, how is Mac Jones going to get a fair look if they're running the Cam Newton offense during practice as opposed to his offense or whatever? You're already shaking your head.
Didn't you just listen to Mike Lombardi? He just told you the passing offenses are the same.
Is it?
The only thing that's different, and we've gone through this with Tony too, the passing offenses are the same. The only thing that's different between the two is how you dress up the running game. And if I don't know how much Alabama tape you've watched, but they run a crap ton of RPOs. And Mac Jones ran them. He did the read option. He did all this stuff. They run a lot of what the Patriots did last year. And I'm sorry, I just completely disagree with Lombardi. I think he's part of this narrative and that the Patriots are pushing to appease Cam, that they are keeping expectations low. They're tamping everything down from Bill's press conference to this stuff going forward to the first day at camp. Mac Jones will be the third guy out there. He'll be carrying pads. He'll be doing all sorts of stuff because this is the way the Patriots do things. And this is the way they build up their players, especially at quarterback. Did you also listen to Mike Lombardi? The three qualities that he said for a Patriots quarterback: Cam Newton compared to Tom Brady and Mac Jones is 0-for-3 for all three of those things.
No. That's why I don't like so, that's why is he here?
That's a valid point, Mike. We've talked about it. Like they just waited for the last guy, you know, because why? A whole bunch of different reasons, you know, starting with Joe Tooney's tag, which they completely screwed up last year and just threw $15 million away that you could have used to get a Mariota or somebody or whoever. But, you know, look, Cam's going to get the first shot for a while. And then it's going to be up to what can Mac do. But Mac does everything. It's not that different. The game plan running game, yes, is different, and that can be problematic in a game, swapping out quarterbacks, a little bit problematic, but it's really not that big of a deal. I know they're two different style quarterbacks, but in terms of the Patriots offense, I'm telling you, and I don't know why you don't believe me and keep talking about this, but it's not that different.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, I don't know, Greg, maybe it's semantics. I just, if you want to tell me that their offense is all-encompassing, fine, they have a big playbook, but they can only run certain parts of it with one guy and certain parts of it with another, which to me is effectively a different offense.
Newton doesn't process at the line of scrimmage, and this Mac Jones is supposed to be brilliant, in your words. So how could that be the same? It's going to be different. It's just going to be.
It's the same plays. It's the same playbook. It's the same plays. It's the same setup. They just dress up the personnel and the running game and all that. It's just dressed up a little bit differently. That's it.
Can I just give you one other thing that went completely up my backside as I listened to Lombardi talking? Let me tell you what you have to be to play quarterback for the Patriots. Let me tell you.
All the answers.
Okay. First, you got to be smart. Oh, got to get a smart guy to play quarterback. That's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Because you know what? I was really kind of focused on getting someone who's a moron back there. That was really my preference. Everyone else in the league apparently wants a moron to play quarterback, but the Patriots are the one team that want him to be smart. It's comments like that that drive me bananas. Like what, Pete Carroll wants some type of jackass back there who can't spell his name to play quarterback? Or Dallas wants some type of moron who can't spell his name to play quarterback? And everyone else in the league wants a stupid quarterback. But the Patriots want a smart one. We all want smart quarterbacks. We all want them. Now, maybe some teams put more of a premium on them than others. But I hear that. It makes me, blood boils.
Guy's got all the answers. I'm going to jump this call because, Greg, I had one more question for you. I'm going to let John in Buffalo ask it, hopefully. John, go, please.
Oh, God, Buffalo.
Hey, Greg, I know you're really close with Bill Belichick, and I think we're all wondering, what does his jack smell like?
That wasn't my question. His comment line said Ernie Adams. What's up with Ernie Adams? Is it just time, or is there a subtle sort of reorganization going on there in the front office?
Come on. The guy's older. He's been, I had heard a few years ago that he was slowing down. There's nothing else to it. Like, it's not, yeah, they ousted Ernie Adams. Like, that's what they did. Like, I mean, come on. He just, like, have you seen it? Like, he just, it was time. He wants to walk away. He wants to do other things. It's fine. It doesn't have to be some big conspiracy theory. And, you know, the Crafts are making a move against this guy and ordering this. I mean, come on.
Well, it could be. I don't know why it couldn't if they want Bill to be more collaborative and all he's doing is going to the back room and talking to Ernie. I don't know. It's not.
Yeah, so they just should have offed Ernie Adams.
No, Greg, he wants to go and do something else now. Like what? Open up a haberdashery? Like, what are you talking about? He wants to go and do this. This is all he's ever done.
There are things that I've heard about Ernie the past couple of years that it's not a surprise that he's stepping away. I mean, not everybody has the longevity of a Bill or other things. There are other things in play.
Okay, so I was just double checking something because you said he's getting up there in age. Isn't he younger than Bill?
No, he wants to go open up a hat shop.
I love to end my stits.
He wants to open a frozen yogurt stand, Maz. He's been looking to do that for years and years, and this was just the right opportunity.
I'll tell you what. If I were him, I'd open a dispensary.
All right, Greg.
I think there's money in that.
Before we get all hot and bothered, we'll let you go. Thank you for this special stint here. We appreciate it.
See you, big boy.
It was a lot of fun until Maz became Maz at the end.
So sorry to send you off like this, Greg.
Okay, bye, Greg. We look forward to reading and listening to you and your podcast and your reporting there on Boston Sports Journal. It's invaluable. We will pick this back up in a second. What?
He is younger than Bill.
I know the question made Greg mad for some reason. I don't know. The simple question is, it I don't know. I don't think it's that unreasonable to think that they're reorganizing a little bit. Bill talked about them being collaborative and wanting to talk to more voices. And so I don't know. It's really just not that complicated.
When I Googled Ernie Adams' age, it says he's about 68.
Oh, about?
So, like, even his age is a mystery. So
he's like
a
Cuban pitcher.
Seriously. Yeah.
Tremendous.
Oh, it's great.
All right. I want to give you a few Bruins thoughts, and then we'll circle back to this football stuff. But I want to do some Bruins coming up off of them clinching the playoffs last night, the team going forward into the postseason this year. You are all horny immediately, even though they haven't played a playoff game, to immediately start talking about who you want back next year. So I snapped at that yesterday. I will, and for some reason I snapped at it. But today I will allow it. You want to talk about the future of the organization and the future of the depth chart and who to sign and re-sign. We can do it.
You spit in the face of facilitating yesterday.
And I you're right.
No, forget it. I don't want to do it now.
No. So if you have to do it, if you have to talk about not David Krejci next week, when they really need him, but David Krejci next year and the year beyond, we can do this.
No, you do it.
So all these topics with your calls right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here. Don't go anywhere.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join over 87,000 golfers in Massachusetts by becoming a member today. By joining, you'll get an official USGA handicap, which helps level the playing field. Learn more by visiting massgolf.org. The tee is yours.